How many people have had one of those days today? Anybody? Okay. Well, here's the deal. I saw rocks sometime before 6 o'clock, and the little baby that's sitting back there with TC just got out of the hospital today. Rock said, "The youth, we're going to get our praise and worship, and then we're going to be done. So, do you have a short word or a long word?" I said, "We're going to be short. So, if we see the kids running around, we're going to stop real fast and let everybody get out of here." I actually, until about 4:28, was having a great day, y'all. Yeah, I mean, had a good time with the kids this morning at 9. Great time at noon with the folks that were here. And believe it or not, I'm trying to get ready to go first to Jacksonville and then come back for about 2.5 days and then jump on a plane and go to Japan. And, you know, when you run a business and you're going to be away from it for 3 weeks, you've got 9,000 things to do. Y'all, I've got this list, and I just keep knocking it off. And I keep sitting there saying, "God, you've got to be kidding me. It can't be this easy." I mean, this has been, in terms of what I need to get done, the easiest trip of several. And I saved over $500 off what they charge Gail to go. So, wow, man, that's pretty awesome. Anyway, so, you know, good news, bad news. Like the guys rowing the ship in chains, and the crewmaster comes down and whacks them with the whip. Says, "I have good news and bad news. The good news is you get double rations today." Yeah. The bad news is the boss wants to go water skiing. Yeah, they were in trouble. So the good news is we're going to be short, even though you may have to listen to me to get there. Where I want to start is John chapter 21 and verse 24 with the guy, you know, Thomas. Actually, let's go back to 8 to, no, that's 19. "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you.'" Then we skip down to verse 24. "Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And without any interruption, then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hand. Put out your hand and place it in my side." You see, Thomas, you know, he's one of those guys, he must have been from Missouri, right? "You've got to show me, because I'm not going to believe it unless I see it." Translated into today's parlance, he's sort of, "Show me the money," you know? But the amazing thing about this guy is when Jesus said, "Stick out your finger," when he first went to the other disciples, that's what he said. Wasn't it? Going back to verse 20. "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side." You see, the amazing thing is, Jesus knows what that deep want, that deep need is inside of us. Most times, even before we can get it out of our mouth, if not before the thought forms in our head. Those scars. That was the testimony. I'm not some other spirit floating around. I'm the one that was on the cross. I'm your Lord. You know, because here are the scars. You know, bishops loves to preach from Song of Solomon, that poetry regarding the lovesick bride. The Psalms, their praise set to music. For about 4.5 or 5 weeks, I've had this song just running around in my head, and I play it as about as loud as I can crank it up in my vehicle going down to get the mail and back out. It is that beautiful song from Hillsong called Grace to Grace. And if I can get my fancy phone to work right, which may be an interesting proposition, here we go. I want to read the verse, and the chorus is what really has stuck with me. If love endured that ancient cross, how precious is my Savior's blood, the beauty of heaven wrapped in my shame, the image of love upon death's frame. If having my heart was worth the pain, what joy could you see beyond the grave? If love found my soul worth dying for. And here's the chorus. How wonderful, how glorious, my Savior's scars, victorious. My chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life, and grace to grace. You know, that's almost a contradiction in terms, isn't it? You're talking about victorious scars. Scars, they're supposed to be the things that, you know, they weigh us down, they tear us up. We walk around, oh, I've been wounded, I've been scarred, I've been hurt. But the song, victorious scars. And that's what Jesus showed His disciples. Didn't even have to wait for them to ask. He said, here, touch where the nails were. Touch where the spear was. Victorious scars. There are three folks I want to talk about. These all come from John. Folks who had some pretty serious scars. One of my favorites is the woman in John 8. The woman caught in adultery. You know, this is the great test that the church people, right? The church people of Jesus' day wanted to trap him. So they said, you know, this woman, she ought to be stoned. What do you say? Again, Jesus knew what was happening before they even asked the question. And He didn't do what we so often do, which is open our mouth before our brain is engaged and say something. The Word says He stooped, or He sat down, and He began to write. And those folks just kept on asking, what are you going to do? Why don't we stone her? Now, can you imagine what thought is running through her mind? Right? This is it. They're going to do this. It's all over. I'm toast. Probably not quite that composed. My guess is this was a woman who was shaking. she's a lot like all of us when we get to that point that our hand is caught in the cookie jar. It's about over, and I'm going down in a big way. What did Jesus do? You know the story, right? He said, all right, guys, if you're the one that doesn't have any sin, grab a rock and start throwing. Didn't happen. Beginning with the oldest down to the youngest, they all left. Now, this woman probably, I guess, is sitting there, if she was sitting. She may have been over in pain, expecting the worst. And finally, Jesus says, who accuses you? At some point, she sort of comes up for air and says, no one, Lord. And Jesus extends the kind of mercy, not justice, the kind of mercy that all of us long for. He says, I don't condemn you either. You know, I don't know about you, but when you hear that, that's about the time you want to just roll over and say, are you kidding me? And Jesus isn't kidding. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, who was this lady? The tradition, at least certainly in the Roman Catholic Church, I think it was Gregory in about 591, he was convinced that this was Mary Magdalene. Makes a lot of sense, I think. You know, Mary, later on, she washes Jesus' feet with her hair. She knows where she's been. She knows those scars that have torn her up and have held her prison for a good part of her life. But yet, she gets past that because those scars, when she met him and he said, whoever is without guilt, go get her. And he said, I don't condemn you. Those scars became marks of victory. And it changed her life. She stood there at the foot of the cross, and on resurrection morning, she was there saying to the angel, or to the Lord, whoa, where is he? Where have you laid him? And that same voice that said, I don't condemn you either, said one word, Mary. And all of a sudden, y'all, life changed for her again because she knew that everything that he said was not just some little, wow, this might be really good. It got planted way down deep inside. This is who he said he was. And her scars, those marks, emotional deep, left. But yes, they were still part of her, but they were victorious scars. One of my other favorites is the guy born blind in John 9. You know, I don't know how long this dear brother was blind. You know, there's one guy that Jesus healed that had been lame for 38 years. This guy still had his parents. My thinking is he probably wasn't 38 years old, but I tell you what, he had been blind all that time. He was a scarred individual, right? He didn't have what everybody else had. He was way down the totem pole. There are those individuals who, when Jesus passed by, would say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This brother wasn't one of those. Jesus went out of his way, right? His disciples. You gotta love these guys, right? You know, the same guys that argue about who's the greatest in the kingdom, who has more time. We're in competition with each other. We don't like, "Jesus, there's some fellows over there casting out demons your name. Tell them to stop." Really? No. Those guys, "Jesus, what's the deal with this guy over here? Whose sin caused him to be born blind?" And Jesus said what? He said, "It wasn't anything. It's that the glory of my kingdom will be revealed." Jesus said, "Here." Took some mud, put it on his eye, said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." The guy came back, and you know, just like Mary Magdalene, he wasn't the same guy anymore. The church people, our friends, right? They said, "Give glory to God. We know the man that healed you, he was a sinner." And our friend wasn't having any of that, was he? He gave one of those confessions that rings from that time to today. He said, "One thing I know. I was blind, but now I see." And they couldn't shake him from that, because he could see, and he knew there wasn't any doubt about who did it for him. The last part of verse 34, the church people, our good friends, right? They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" They cast him out of the synagogue. I mean, are you kidding me? Here's a testimony, something that hadn't happened. And here's the guy that says, "That guy did it." And all of a sudden, he's not welcome anymore. His scars, where he'd been, what he'd lived through, all of a sudden became a victory dance, right? He wasn't who he used to be. My favorite of many of John's accounts is the woman at the well in John 4. You know, this is somebody who was super, super scarred, right? I mean, you know the story. Jesus said, "Hey, tell your husband to come over here." "Well, there's a problem with that." "Yeah, you've had 5 already, and you're living with somebody, and he's not your husband either. You've answered truly, you don't have a husband." It is the middle of a day, a hot, scorching day, and this woman, why is she there in the middle of the heat? Well, it's our friends again, the church people. She doesn't want to come early in the morning, when it's probably the coolest. She doesn't want to come late in the day, when maybe it's as not as cool as it was in the morning, because she's going to run into some of those wonderful, wonderful church people. And they're going to, once again, "We know about you. and who you are, and you are so bad. What in the world are you doing here getting water? Why don't you get somewhere out of my face? Really? That's what she dealt with. And yet she met somebody that changed her life. And in verse 25, she said, I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. The first time Jesus ever told anybody who he really was to this dear sister. He said, I who speak to you am he. Once again, those good folks came back from arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And what did they say? Hey, boss. Why are you talking to her? But the woman, she had revelation. Because Jesus had stopped in a busy schedule, took the long way around to get to Jerusalem, and spent time with her. He gave her a word of knowledge, and he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And somewhere, it clicked in a big way. Because while the Lord was talking to those great paragons of virtue, verse 28 says, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Now, y'all, this is the woman who's there in the middle of the burning heat of the day precisely to avoid seeing anybody. But something happened to her. And instead of wanting to avoid every single person and hide under a rock, she said, y'all, you got to meet somebody because he's done something for me. Jesus stayed and a revival broke out in Sychar. And that woman's scars, emotional, mental, deep hurt, all became something victorious. We know a little bit more about her. Her name was Fotini. Eventually, she wound up in Rome, and two of Nero's daughters were converted because she had an experience, and those scars that she had stopped being the kind of thing that held her down. And what they became was that force that propelled her into a life of serving others. She so impressed Nero's daughters that they gave her money, which she then distributed to the poor in Rome. This was somebody who met the Master and was never, ever the same because of it. I can't tell you how many times in the middle of getting to the post office, and there are days when either A, especially Tuesday, you get junk mail. And then there are other days, sometimes Wednesday and Thursday, when there is no check in the mail, right? You're sitting there, well, this has not been a real good week, Lord. Hello? And what he's saying is, hey, you, take a look at where you've been. That lack that you're yakking about is not really yakking about lack. I have everything you need, and it's inside of you. Just let it out, and you will be blessed. Scars. They can be deep, but they are something. They are the part of us that is transformed when we realize who we are in Christ. In the middle of that crazy, goofy day, including mine, at 4:30, when I drove up to Dr. Kendrick's to drop off my two dogs so I could get out of town tomorrow, and realize today's Wednesday. She's closed. And I've still got two dogs. You know, God will work it out. He always has. He always will. Because He is the same one that met the woman caught in adultery, the man born blind, and the woman at the well. He goes out of His way to meet us where we are, and He knows what we need even before we can open up our mouth and say, it's already there, right? Y'all, that's my story. I am sticking to it. Because, quite frankly, I'm with Peter. Who else has the words of life? Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this opportunity to be here. Father, I pray that a realization would grip all of us of not who we are, but who You are. And that it is through Your everlasting, unchanging love that the scars we bear become marks of Your victory over the enemy. Bless us and keep us. Lead us in Your paths for Your name's sake. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Folks, it has been my great pleasure.